An animated book opens and a city block rises from its blank pages. A low view moves down a main street, settling outside a movie theater. Illuminated by blinking lights, the marquee reads, Amazon Studios. Over black, a quote appears. The belief in a supernatural source of evil is not necessary. Men alone are quite capable of every wickedness. Joseph Conrad. Credits appear. Amazon Studios presents a Blumhouse television production. A blurred view shows a mother pacing in a nursery with a baby in her arms. A crib sits in front of a window. A faint light glows outside. The young brunette continues cradling her infant. She slowly wanders over to the crib. She lowers the baby. A lamp glows dimly by the crib.
It's okay. It's okay.
Startled, the brunette turns. The mother cautiously steps through the dimly lit nursery. She slowly exits the room. She wears an uneasy expression as she looks ahead.
Gato?
The brunette looks to her side.
Did you hear that?
She stares ahead. She rushes to the crib, finding it filled with dirt. The brunette frantically digs through it.
No, 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 no!
In a pickup truck, the pale brunette startles awake during the day. She wears a shaken expression. A mustached man drives. She looks at him, then turns a knob to change the radio station. The young brunette stares out the window as they pass a sign. Welcome to Golden Valley, 1977, our 100th year.
Veronica was right.
What?
They don't even have a McDonald's here.
The driver feigns rage.
God, we should turn around.
Yes. I mean, if we leave now, we can be back in Los Angeles by dinner.
I know your sister wouldn't like it here, but I hope you will.
Both of you.
He touches her pregnant belly.
I know how important this is for you.
You've only been in the U.S. for 5 years, and you're already a manager.
He playfully lowers his cowboy hat over his eyes.
That's me.
That's big.
He smiles.
It's important for us.
Beto, we're good. Really.
Beto glances at her and nods softly.
Supongo que hay más tiempo que vida.
Huh?
There is more time than life. Since the moment.
She grins.
Life's too short. That's how we say it here.
He gives her a look.
My way is nice.
The brunette shakes her head. They continue along the country road. Items covered in sheets fill the truck bed. Credits appear as our view rises over trees. Ariana Guerra, Tenoch Huerta, Elpidia Carrillo. An overhead view shows the pickup truck driving. Casting by John McAllery, CSA. Music by Isabel Engman and Gerardo Garcia Jr. Edited by Christina Hamilton Grobler. Glimpses show various businesses on the main street of a small town. Production designer, Ryan Owl Dwyer. Director of photography, Felipe Vara de Rey, AEC. Produced by John Brister. Co-executive producers, Chris Dickey, Kyle Chalmers. Executive producer Sanjay M. Sharma. Beto drives past a diner where a sign on the door reads, English only. Executive producer Matthew Myers. Executive producers Jeremy Gold, Marcy Wiseman. Executive producer Lisa Bruce. Executive producer Jason Blum. The pickup truck continues past fields and lush trees. A small farm sits to the side of the long road. The truck travels around a curve. The brunette stares out the window with an uncertain look as Beto slows to a stop.
We're home.
She remains in the truck while Beto approaches the modest house.
Are you coming?
She nods and climbs out. A title appears as the brunette rubs her pregnant belly. Madres. She follows Beto to the house. Written by Marcela Ochoa and Mario Mischione. Directed by Ryan Zaragoza. Text appears as Beto and his wife enter the home. Inspired by true events. Beto gazes around with a faint smile. He takes off his cowboy hat and lifts a sheet as the brunette enters. She views the peeling wallpaper in the entry hall. She gently touches the torn wallpaper, which bears a floral pattern on a yellow background. She slowly crosses the hall. She runs her finger along a vase resting on a mantel. The brunette continues through the dimly lit home. In the neighboring living room, Beto uncovers a sofa. Dust rises from the sheet as he waves it. Upstairs, the young brunette reaches the landing. She steps away as our view backs into a room. The wall by the doorway bears chipped paint. The brunette steps into the doorway and looks inside. Downstairs, she joins Beto in the kitchen.
Well, it's a little different than the pictures.
He shuts the fridge.
Those must have been old.
Hmm.
I know it doesn't look like much, but what's the saying? Don't look in the free horse in the mouth?
A gift horse in the mouth?
Yeah, that's it. Don't look at that gift house in the mouth. Those are easy fixes. I can do it in no time.
She leans closer to him.
We'll do them together.
She smiles. Beto hugs her from behind.
We need fresh paint.
Mm-hmm.
Some furniture. New.
Bang.
Our family photos.
She glances to her side, then walks to a door. A small cross hangs over it.
I think they were religious.
One over every door keeps the devil out.
He gestures to another cross in the backyard.
This will be a perfect place to write.
It's gonna be better than your old cubicle at the paper. You were worried we wouldn't have enough storage.
They stand before a worn-down shed and other structures.
Now I'm worried we don't have enough tetanus shots.
Come on, let's get lunch. Get to know the town.
Beto takes her hand. In the town, a sign over a shop reads, Botanica. Beto and his wife enter. A middle-aged woman stands behind a counter. Subtitles appear.
Hola.
Hello. ¿Qué tal? How are you?
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon,
bienvenidos.
Welcome. Gracias. Thank you. The middle-aged woman eyes the brunette as she wanders through the shop.
Tú no eres
You're not from around here, right? The young woman glances at Beto.
No. Sorry, my Spanish is not great.
Oh. But you look... It's okay. My name is Anita.
Diana, look at this. For the baby room.
Do we really need another cross?
Come on. I had one just like this growing up.
He approaches the counter.
Hola.
Hi, nice to meet you. The pleasure is mine. Your store is beautiful.
Gracias.
Thank you. Let me see if I have the correct change. Diana notices Anita staring at her. Yes, here it is. Thank you. Anita places the cross in a bag. Here you go. Thank you. You're welcome. Beto and Diana start out.
Before you go,
they turn back.
I can give a blessing for you and your new baby.
Oh.
Yes, of course.
Beto nods to Diana. Anita smiles faintly as she steps to the pregnant woman. She places her hand on the side of Diana's head, then shuts her eyes. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You are blessed between all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen.
Anita lowers her hand.
It's so nice to meet you both.
She glances between Beto and Diana.
This town can be a wonderful place to live. Come back anytime.
Yes, of course.
Beto and Diana leave. Anita stares off in thought. At home, Diana gently rubs her belly as she sits in bed.
I think this is going to be a great new start for us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why, but this town reminds me of where I grew up.
Beto decorates a mirror's frame with small photos. He faces Diana.
A perfect place to start our family.
He gazes at her. She looks down.
What do you think that Anita woman meant by this town can be a wonderful place to live?
Did she say it like that?
No. But why say it can be? Why not this is a wonderful place for...
They look at the window.
What was that?
Probably just a coyote. You get used to the country life.
She steps over and peers outside. A light shines over the shed's open door.
Beto, there's someone outside.
Mi amor, this is our first night in a new house. We're gonna hear new sounds.
She gives him a look. In the kitchen, Beto lights a match.
Y aquí voy yo.
He lights a lantern, then blows out the match. Beto takes the lantern to the door and opens it. He steps out to the backyard. A light fog drifts through the area. Beto looks around, then heads to the shed. Wearing boxers and a tank top, he approaches the open door of the shed. With the lantern raised, Beto peers inside. Stepping into the doorway, he bangs his fist on the wall. He stomps. Let's go. Get out. He shines the lantern into the shed and looks around, finding old furniture and objects. Beto turns and steps out of the shed. He wears a tense expression as he crosses the yard. The light over the shed door flickers. Beto stares around with a furrowed brow. He raises the lantern slightly. With a suspicious look, he turns to his home and lowers the lantern. Raising it again, he heads back to the house. He ducks as he steps under a low-hanging tree branch. A shadowy figure steps into the foreground, far behind Beto. Daytime. An aerial view shows crop fields. At a farm, Beto approaches a few workers. Subtitles appear. How are you? Good afternoon. Good. How are you?
Roberto.
I'm Roberto.
Ernesto.
Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to meet you, Ernesto. Nice to meet you. Coffee? Beto accepts the drink. Sure, why not?
Sí. Gracias.
Thank you. A rugged man approaches. It's good.
I'm gonna push.
The workers shuffle away. Beto sets his coffee down. He extends his hand to the rugged man.
Tomás,
Actually, I go by Thomas.
Sorry, I saw the spelling.
It's okay. Happens all the time.
Oh, pretty good.
Glad to see you guys made it okay.
Yeah.
How's the house? I know it needs a little work.
No, it's perfect. Seriously.
Yeah?
Please thank Mr. McQuill for letting us stay there. For everything, actually.
Well, walk with me.
Between fields, Beto strolls with Thomas.
Impressive, right?
Yeah.
The yield gets better every year, man. Those new agrochemicals are a godsend. You met Ernesto already? This is wife Marisol and Hector. You'll be working closely.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Nice to meet you. Likewise.
I'll deal with the new distributors we ship to, while you'll oversee the workers.
Okay.
Elsewhere.
Been in the country long?
I came when I was 25.
Legally?
Beto uneasily averts his gaze.
Sorry. None of my business.
How about you?
Oh, I was born in Los Angeles.
Ah, my wife too.
Oh, yeah? My parents came here in the 40s. They were braceros.
That explains it.
What?
Well, your English is so perfect. I can't say S-H-I-P correctly. Always comes out as sheep. Or worse.
Or worse. It'll be good having you here. Yeah. I think the workers would prefer working with a real Mexican.
As Thomas continues ahead, Beto frowns. At home, Diana chops carrots while using the phone.
So? It's awful, isn't it?
It's fine.
I can't believe you left LA for the armpit of California.
I got fired and we have a baby on the way. It's not like I had a ton of options.
You mean you got fired because you have a baby on the way? You should have fought that shit.
Honestly, it all worked out. The baby comes in a couple of months, and I can finally write my book.
Do you know what you're going to write about yet?
No. But I will figure it out. Something that matters. So how's Mom?
She's, you know, Mom. You guys still aren't talking?
No.
She did the same thing after you got pregnant. Silent treatment for a few weeks, but she'll come around.
I just can't fight with her one more time about Beto or the move or how she's thrilled she paid all that money for my journalism degree, only for me to become a poor farmer's wife.
In her crazy way, she's just trying to help. She thinks you deserve better.
Veronica!
You know what I mean.
Better in Mom's mind is light-skinned kids and a husband that wears a suit to work. Meanwhile, if she really wanted to help us, she could have taught us Spanish.
Girls, you don't want to have an accent like grandma, do you?
I mean, it's bad enough, but...
Her eyes widen.
You what?
Diana stares ahead.
Let me call you back.
Sure. I'll be here.
Diana hangs up, then walks away from the counter. An outdoor view shows the shed's reflection in a window as Diana approaches and stares out. A red cloth lies on the doorstep, then retracts into the shed. A view from the shed shows Diana approaching the open door. The red cloth lies crumpled inside. She inches forward. Inside, Diana moves the red cloth from a cardboard box, then kneels. She opens the lid of an old music box painted with flowers. The underside of the lid bears a dirty mirror. She turns the winding key. Diana opens one of the small drawers and briefly picks up a beaded necklace attached to a piece of bone. She returns it to the drawer, then shuts it. She sets the music box on another cardboard box. Diana picks up a small framed photo. Wiping some dust away, she reveals a smiling young couple. She turns the frame over. Writing on the back reads, Teresa y Juan. Diana sets the frame aside, then looks through a collection of black and white photos. She places the photos beside the music box. Her expression growing intrigued, Diana pulls out flyers for the Migrant Farm Workers Union. A headline on a newsletter reads, The Truth About Pesticides. The door swings shut behind her. Diana startles. She walks over to the door, then struggles to open it. Desperation spreads on her face. She pounds on the door with her palms. Outside, our view slowly drifts toward the shed. Diana rams her shoulder against the door. It opens. She breathes heavily as she staggers out of the shed. She grabs a shovel by the door, then aims it around as she slowly crosses the yard. Diana's frightened expression fades as she peers up. She inches ahead, staring at a small blood-stained sack hanging from a tree branch. She knocks it to the ground with the shovel. Taking a closer look, she becomes alarmed. Diana rushes away. An eye wrapped in hair lies by the torn sack. Inside, Betho views the eye.
Who the hell would do something like that?
We don't know how long he's been there.
Diana looks at him.
So a severed eye hanging from our tree is less scary if it's been there for a while.
Maybe it was kids playing a prank or something the last owners put up.
He sets the eye down.
Do you know anything about the previous owners?
Nope. We can ask around at the barbecue this weekend.
Oh, do we really have to go to that?
Yes, we do. It'll give us a chance to get to know the other families here.
Oh, good. Small talk. In Spanish. My favorite.
In a backyard, a glass container holds a blue drink. As people take food, Thomas points.
Ladies, got your favorite agua fresca over there. Enjoy.
Beto serves himself while others socialize. Diana sits alone on a bench wearing a nice dress with embroidered flowers. She smiles nervously as a group joins her. Beto hands her a plate of food as the others converse. It not only destroyed the place, but it got into the barrels. Have you ever seen a drunk coyote? Diana smiles awkwardly. Beto turns to Ernesto.
How's Marisol?
Bien.
Good.
Doctors say need to stay in bed at the clinic until baby comes.
Oh, bet you can wait.
Diana turns to a long-haired woman.
I like your necklace.
Oh,
thank you. It was
a
gift.
A gift?
From Manita, for protection.
Qué lindo vestido.
That's a nice dress.
My dress? Thank you. It's new. I got it before we made the trip. I thought I'd need something light and breezy. And look, it even has pockets.
It looks expensive.
Rosa.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Diana looks uncomfortable.
It's just that my parents were punished for speaking Spanish in school, so they never taught us.
Aw, poor little white girl. Rosa, enough. It was a joke.
I think your dress is pretty.
Thank you.
You're first?
Yes. Do you have any kids?
Not yet, but one day, hopefully.
Beto steps past Diana.
Beto and I want at least two.
The more the better.
Mm-hmm.
Rosa lifts a glass.
To your family's health.
Diana nods.
What about you, Rosa? Do you want any more kids?
I did, pero not to be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
pero gracias
thank God.
A Dios, we have our Jaimito.
We are one of the lucky ones.
Nearby, Beto kicks a ball with Jaime. Go over there. The boy jogs across the yard and Beto kicks the soccer ball to him. Jaime kicks it back.
We're all your cousins, amigos?
Friends. Jaime shrugs.
¿No tienes?
Don't you have any? Confused, Beto kicks the ball with the women. Did you hear? Where's Juana? I'm not one to gossip, but you don't gossip. Hey, when do I ever gossip? Well, supposedly. Diana wanders over to the food table. Thomas notices her and approaches. He offers her a glass of the blue drink.
Agua fresca. Homemade. Try it.
Okay.
She sips the beverage.
Yeah?
That's delicious.
Thanks. I have a welcome basket for you guys. I'll send you home with some.
Oh, thank you.
Don't worry about it.
She glances around awkwardly.
Listen, I know it's hard. Not knowing the language and stuff, but it's okay. I'll pick it up in no time. Trust me.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thomas walks away. Diana glances toward Rosa and the long-haired woman, then takes a bite of a pastry. In the bed of the pickup truck, Agua Fresca sloshes around in a large jug. Beto parks at home. He steps around to open the door for Diana.
I thought it was a nice day.
That's because of your friends.
Our friends?
He retrieves the jug of Agua Fresca while she slowly climbs out.
You could have tried a little more.
Beto!
They head to the house.
They made fun of me and called me gringa.
What? When?
I just...
She wears a frustrated expression.
I have never felt like such an outsider.
Oh, yeah. You get used to it.
Beto continues inside. Diana frowns. In the kitchen, a typewriter sits on the table. A sheet of blank paper droops over the rear support. A glass of Agua Fresca sits beside it. From across the room, Diana stares blankly at the typewriter as she leans on the kitchen island. She sits at the table. Leaning back in the wood chair, she rocks back and forth. She stops rocking and turns with a startled look. At the front door, Diana pulls back a curtain, revealing Anita outside. Annoyed, she opens the door.
Anita!
Buenos días, Diana.
What are you doing here?
How are you feeling?
Anita holds out a beaded necklace.
I got you this. It's lovely, but I couldn't. It's very important for new mothers to be protected. I give them to all the pregnant women.
Diana notices a bone attached to the necklace.
Did you know the woman who lived here before us?
Teresa? Why are you asking that?
She left a bunch of their stuff here. Pictures, diaries, kids, toys. I could mail them to her if you give me her address.
Leave it.
Anita wears a grave expression.
Okay, I think you should go. I have work to do.
I want you to take this necklace. You need protection.
Please go.
Eyeing her sternly, Diana shuts the door. She wears a thoughtful look. Later, a view from the kitchen shows Diana returning to the house with a box in her arms. Now she drops the box from the shed on the table. She raises the lid of the music box. Small painted flowers line the sides of the mirror. Diana lifts Teresa's beaded necklace from the drawer. She sneers at it.
Protection.
As she returns the necklace to the drawer, she furrows her brow. Diana removes a leather-bound journal from the cardboard box, then takes a seat at the table. She opens the journal and flips through its pages. A folded news clipping drops out of it. Diana opens it. A headline reads, "Valley fever to blame for sick farm workers in Central Valley." Diana sips Agua Fresca while she reads the article. As she reads, Diana leans back in her chair. She continues bobbing back and forth. She reaches for her glass, then resumes leaning back in her chair while she reads. The hand of a woman in red appears in the music box mirror. Diana falls back onto the floor, cut to black. A sign on a wall reads, "Northwest Maternity Clinic." A bearded doctor meets with Diana and Beto.
I feel like I'm seeing things. It's kind of a blur.
I still have some cramping.
Any rashes?
No.
Okay, well, the good news is the baby is fine. The cramping was likely triggered by the stress of the fall. I would like to keep you here overnight, just as a precaution. And I'm glad we got to meet, though I would have preferred doing it at our scheduled checkup next week.
Thank you.
A nurse joins them.
Hi, Diana.
This is Nurse Carol, our night nurse, and you'll meet Nurse Molly tomorrow for the morning shift. And that's the whole team.
There's just three of you?
I know it's not what you're used to in the big city, but we're going to take great care of you. Now, if you notice your symptoms get worse, it's urgent you let Nurse Carol know immediately. She'll check on you every few hours, but I expect you'll be going home in the morning. I got some rest. I'll see you next week.
And if you need anything, just let me know.
Okay.
Do you have any rollaway beds?
Oh, unfortunately, no. We don't allow guests to stay overnight.
Oh, really?
It's clinic policy. I'm sorry, but visiting hours resume bright and early.
Carol walks away. Diana and Beth, though, share a look. He throws up his hands, then takes a seat.
I'm staying.
You're gonna sleep in that chair all night?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, it's fine. I'm just gonna go to sleep anyway. Get some rest. You have work. Go. Get out of here.
Okay. I'll be back first thing in the morning.
He kisses her on the head.
Rest, baby.
Love you.
Love you.
He leaves. At home, Beto sweeps broken glass on the kitchen floor. He grabs the dustpan and brushes in the glass. He notices the music box in the cardboard box. Now Beto winds it up. Beto stares down at the music box. He grabs the broom. As Beto steps away, the woman in red appears in the music box mirror with her face out of view. She steps out of view. At the clinic, Diana talks on the phone.
Anyway, I just wanted to let you know the baby's fine. I'm fine. Everything is fine.
Well, it all sounds fine. I'll check in tomorrow. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Diana hangs up. She stares off briefly, then glances down at her side. She looks up. Diana rises from bed and looks out of her cubicle.
Nurse Carol?
Diana walks toward the nurse's station. She slowly steps through the dimly lit clinic. Diana continues to a cubicle at the end of the hall. Diana finds Marisol sobbing in bed.
Are you okay?
No.
Diana glances at Marisol's chart on the wall.
Marisol, do you want me to get a doctor?
Por favor. Salva mi bebé.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Marisol holds her pregnant belly.
La maldición.
What?
La maldición!
Carol enters.
Diana?
There's Carol. There is something very wrong with her.
I'll take care of Mrs. Hernandez. You should be in bed. You need to rest. Go to bed. I'll take care of her.
Diana leaves the cubicle. Carol closes the curtain.
Mrs. Hernandez.
Diana stands by the nurse's station. Daytime. At the farm, workers pick crops as liquid sprays on the plants. A pregnant worker slowly walks along the row. The mist sprays on her. She touches under her belly. Our view lowers, revealing empty crates lined up on the ground. At the clinic nursery, our view drifts along a line of empty bassinets. Diana stands at the end of the rows, staring somberly. Beto notices her as he approaches a window looking into the nursery. He frowns. Diana continues staring at the empty bassinets with a troubled expression.
Ready, honey?
By the nurse's station, Marisol sits in a wheelchair. Diana and Beto approach her.
Hi. How are you feeling?
Hola, Marisol.
Hi, Marisol.
Hola.
Hi.
Hey.
Diana, my wife.
Mucho gusto.
Nice to meet you.
I don't know if you remember, but I came by your room last night. You look like you were in a lot of pain.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. She said, are you okay? Did something happen last night?
No,
I feel fine. I don't remember much from last night. The medication was strong. She looks at Diana. Your first baby? Diana nods.
Yes.
Her smile fades as Nurse Molly approaches.
My second. One more.
Mrs. Hernandez, it's time. Thank you, Molly. Well then, take good care of yourself. You too. Goodbye.
Adios.
Marisol looks at Diana.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Marisol stares at Diana's belly as Nurse Molly wheels her away. Diana turns to Beto.
Last night she was yelling, La maldición. What is that?
The curse.
Diana wears a thoughtful look. At home, she enters the kitchen.
I need a shower and pizza.
She sets her bag down.
Notice anything?
The house looks very clean.
Beto leans the wooden chair back, revealing a new backstop.
Ta-da!
Diana grins.
Well, look at you.
I did service. And there was this.
He hands her the leather journal.
Oh, this is from the shed. I think it belongs to the woman who used to live here before us.
Yeah, I flipped through it. She seems really interested in this town. A lot of research. Maybe she could have been a writer, too.
He winks. He opens the journal to a page with Spanish writing, then nods at Diana. She meets his eyes, then reads.
Al mal tiempo, buena cara.
In bad times, put on a brave face. Poetic, no?
She raises her brow and nods.
I have one more thing to show you. Come on.
What?
Come on.
Upstairs.
Be careful. With order. Okay.
Okay.
He covers her eyes.
I didn't get any sleep, but I think it was worth it.
Beto removes his hands from Diana's face.
Here we go. Open your eyes.
Finding a room transformed into a nursery, Diana looks moved. She turns to Beto.
Beto.
I wanted you to have something nice to come home to.
She steps around the wooden crib and nods approvingly. She smiles at Beto.
It's more than nice.
She continues around the crib, then presses down on the mattress.
Oh, and check this out. A bit of cleaning and it works like new.
He opens the music box, obscuring our view.
Is it weird? Taking a music box meant for someone else's child.
You got it on the kitchen. I thought you'd like it.
Oh, it's really sweet, but I was hoping we'd get something new for the baby.
He closes it.
Okay. Whatever you want.
They share a smile and Beto picks up the music box.
We should just donate this with the rest of the stuff.
On the porch, it sits in a donation box. Diana writes at a table where the journal lies by a glass of agua fresca.
Still reading that thing, huh?
Beto steps out and watches her.
I thought today was a cleanup day.
I know, but Teresa collected all these interesting articles. A lot of them talk about sick workers. Something called valley fever?
Maybe she was allergic to something on the farm.
Aren't we all?
He views an article. Diana wears an excited expression.
It's a good thing for a really great expose.
On Teresa?
On farm workers.
Beto averts his frustrated gaze.
Well, don't stay out here too much. It's hot.
She continues working.
Ah!
Diana winces.
It's okay?
Her face contorts in pain.
Ah!
Beto hurries over.
You all right, Will?
Diana wears an uncertain look.
Yeah.
He rubs her belly. Nighttime. A light glows dimly in the hallway. In the kitchen, Diana works at the table. She sips agua fresca. She scratches her wrist. She picks up a small dictionary and flips through its pages. She guides her thumb down a column of Spanish words, stopping at erupción. The definition reads, rash. With a concerned look, Diana stares at her wrist. She holds it under the light of a lamp, revealing a red rash on her skin. A moving view slowly enters the kitchen while Diana observes her wrist. She peers over her shoulder.
Beto?
A view from the nursery shows Diana climbing the stairs to the second floor. She approaches the room. Diana finds the music box sitting in the crib. She inches toward it. Standing at the edge of the crib, Diana reaches in and lifts the music box. She carefully opens the lid. With a relieved look, she closes the music box and returns it to the crib. She turns, finding the woman in red screaming without a mouth. Diana screams. She finds the woman in red gone. Diana leans against the crib as she stands alone in the nursery. Cut to black. Daytime. A view from behind tree branches shows Diana leaving the house. She walks down the driveway to the pickup truck. As she gets in, a moving view reveals small sacks hanging from the branches. At Anita's shop.
I need your help.
Come.
They sit at the counter. Anita offers a beaded necklace.
For you.
Diana smiles politely.
That's sweet. But that's not the kind of help I need. Do you know what pesticides are? They're new. Farmers are using them on their crops, but there's not enough research to see if they're safe for people. The workers in the field are being exposed to this every day.
Where did you get all this?
Teresa. It makes sense why she left all her stuff here. She uncovered this and then disappeared.
Anita shakes her head.
Everyone here trusts you. They listen to you. I need your help to warn the people in the town of this.
Anita notices Diana's rash.
How long have you had this?
What?
Es una maldición.
No, stop. It's not a curse. This is real.
The curse is real, Diana.
Enough with the shaman bullshit. I'm showing you proof of what's happening here.
If the pesticides were the reason, why do you have this rash? I don't see you working in the fields. When did you get exposed to these chemicals? Safe? At home? Digging through Teresa's belongings?
Diana wears an uncertain expression.
Hmm?
She gathers the newsletters and leaves. Anita looks disappointed. At home.
Will you please sit down? I prepared this lunch for us.
No! Beto, you're not listening to me.
I hear you. I just don't know what you want me to do.
You have to tell Mr. Quill and Tomas. I mean, these pesticides, they need to stop using them.
Diana, we just got here. You want me to take a bunch of old flyers to my boss and demand they change their operations?
I know this doesn't make sense to you, but you have to trust me. These pesticides are making everyone sick.
I'm not sick. I don't see anyone sick in the fields. Why are you doing this?
What do you mean? I'm trying to help.
This isn't for your book?
He carries two dishes to the dining room.
I'm trying to keep us safe. You're the one that dragged us here, and now you're putting our family at risk because you don't want to do anything.
Okay, so now I dragged you here. Maybe you should have listened to your mother and never got involved with me, this fucking farmer.
Don't be ridiculous.
He holds the dictionary.
This is the first time I've ever seen you with one of this. I've been on you for years about learning Spanish. And now, all of a sudden, you're interested in learning the language? Because you can use it as a weapon against me?
Stop attacking me for not knowing Spanish! I finally start to learn the reason isn't good enough for you! Do I attack you for not knowing indigenous languages? Do you know Nahuatl? Did you learn the language of your grandparents? Do I make fun of you because you didn't? This isn't about you. And for someone who is so passionate about their people and their culture, I'd expect you to want to stand up and protect them. If you don't, I will.
He smirks.
Okay, here we go. The white saber comes in to protect us. Poor dumb farmers.
Offended, Diana starts out of the room.
I'm sorry. Wait.
She stops. Beto stares off with a guilty expression.
We are both stressed. This is a big change for both of us. I'm the first person in my family to become a manager. I have to do a good job here.
She fights back tears.
And the workers?
She faces him.
You have to protect them.
I will.
He gestures to the table. She takes a seat. Holding her pregnant belly, she looks at Beto. He reaches for a piece of celery, then breaks it in half. He holds up a piece. She regards him blankly.
What was that?
This is from our farm. My father used to say it takes a real farmer to grow celery. Celery's got one of the longest maturing periods of any crop. It's delicate and fragile, and it scares away farmers just looking for a quick turnaround. But you got that crunch? Needs patience and trust.
Smiling softly, she nods, then glances down. She looks at Beto.
Did you just use symbolism on me?
I just want to talk to you in your own terms.
Diana grins.
You okay?
I don't know.
Beto catches Diana as she collapses.
Sit down.
Later, the bearded doctor examines Diana in the bedroom.
Let's schedule for you to come in for some tests.
What is it?
It could be nothing. An allergic reaction?
And if it's not? I heard some of the workers in town have rashes, too.
Well, I can't get into specific patient history.
I read articles on pesticides. Do you think that could be it? The locals think it's a curse.
You know, when I first came to Golden Valley, I came across a condition. Patients began reporting similar unusual symptoms. Random episodes of dizziness, feeling weak and unfocused, persistent cough, hallucinations, and they started to get rashes on their bodies.
Do you think I have that? Am I safe? Is my baby safe?
Beto puts his arm around her. The doctor smiles awkwardly.
I'm not exactly spiritual, but some things just can't be explained by science. I wish I had a better answer for you, but a lot of people in this town find comfort in prayer. I suggest you do the same.
You can't be serious.
We caught your rash early. I'll schedule a time for you to come into the clinic and we'll get those tests going for you.
The doctor leaves. Beto kisses his anguished wife on the head and hugs her. Daytime. At the farm, Beto stares distractedly at a tractor as it sprays pesticides on crops. He sits with Ernesto. Has anyone got sick from the pesticides? No, not us.
No,
just the women.
Solo las mujeres.
¿Qué?
What? Ernesto reads a union newsletter.
¿Qué dice el doctor?
What does the doctor say?
Vamos,
we go to Miss Anita. She keeps us safe.
Who keeps you safe?
Thomas approaches and hands out beer bottles.
We're talking about Anita.
Oh, which lady? Don't tell me you believe in that shit, too.
Beto turns away and gazes uncertainly at the tractor. It continues spraying pesticides. He sips his beer while he stares off in thought. At home, Diana writes in the kitchen. Teresa's journal sits on the table.
It's only happening to women. En otra ciudad.
She flips through the Spanish dictionary. A surprised look grows on her face. She walks to the phone and makes a call.
Information, how may I help you?
Hi, could I get the number to Golden County Clerk's office?
Please hold.
Diana holds her notebook against a cabinet and writes, "It happened in another town." She underlines the words. She stares off in thought. At the county clerk's office, a short-haired employee leads Diana into an archives room.
Just lock up when you leave.
The employee walks away. The door slowly closes behind Diana. She walks alongside rows of shelves containing file boxes. She peers around with a pensive look. The image splits into three as Diana retrieves a box of records from a shelf. Later, Diana pours through records at a desk. She flips through pages in a binder. She views a bar graph detailing declining birth rates among Hispanic people in Golden Valley. Diana tears out the document and runs her finger along the graph. With a flustered look, she writes in her notebook, "This is happening to pregnant women." She turns to the birth rates for Arbington, California. It shows a several-year dip. She writes Arbington in her notebook, circles it, and draws an arrow. It points to the words, "Another town." She compares the Hispanic birth rates of the two towns, which show declines in different years. Diana stares off with a stunned look. She writes under Arbington, "Hispanic birth rate improved last 5 years." Diana glances over her shoulder, puts the graphs in her notebook, and starts out. She stops by the door. Diana looks back into the room. She returns to the aisle of shelves and stares ahead. She slowly steps forward. She wears a distant look as she continues passing the shelves. Diana stops, then enters one of the rows. She turns to one of the shelves and opens a file box. It contains a collection of binders of Golden County death records for the 1970s. She removes a binder. Diana moves her finger down a column of names. She turns the page and continues perusing the list. Her finger stops under a name, Teresa Flores. At home.
Teresa's dead. I know this sounds crazy, but I think she's trying to show me. These pesticides are poison to pregnant women. I went to the county clerk's office. Hispanic women are not having babies here. Think, Beto. And where are all the Mexican babies? We've met Jaime, And that's it. And that's it.
I talked to Ernesto about it. He says it is a curse.
She regards Beto with a discouraged look.
It happened in another town nearby called Arvington. I called their maternity clinic.
What did you expect to tell you?
Arvington's numbers were improving the last few years. What if they figured out what the problem was?
What if we find out everyone's right? That it is a curse?
Nighttime in the bedroom.
There is a way for us to know.
Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre.
Diana shakes her head as Beto dabs her with an egg.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
She lies on her back with her belly exposed. He gently rubs the egg along her bare legs.
Amen. It's done.
Okay.
You have to sleep on this. And we'll know more in the morning.
He stows the egg in a bowl under her pillow, then kisses her.
Try not to think about it.
She stares off with a dull expression. He walks around the bed and blows out a candle. Beto climbs into bed with Diana. He kisses her pregnant belly, now covered with her nightgown. She watches as he blows out a candle on the nightstand. She stares off while they lie in bed side by side. Later, Diana startles awake. She looks at her sleeping husband.
Beto. Beto.
She slowly sits up. In the kitchen, Diana switches on the light. She carries the bowl to the island. She quickly sets it down. She stares down at the bowl with a hesitant expression. Her shoulders slouch and she shakes her head.
You officially lost your mind.
Diana cracks the egg into the bowl. She stares down at it with a furrowed brow, then lowers her head to get a closer look. Specks of red blemish the yellow egg yolk. Diana straightens up, then retrieves a knife from the counter. Clutching the knife, Diana stares down at the bowl. She hesitantly lowers the tip of the blade to the yolk. She gently pierces the yolk with the knife. A murky red liquid oozes from the yolk. Diana staggers back to the counter in horror. She touches her belly. The red substance spreads through the egg white. Shutting her eyes, Diana gathers herself. She looks to her side, then slowly crosses the kitchen. She approaches the window. She pulls back the curtain with the knife and peers outside. Her eyes widen.
Beto! Fire!
In the yard, Diana cautiously approaches a fire burning in front of the tree. She slows to a stop and stares ahead. Diana finds liquid on her shoulder. She touches it, then views it on her fingertips. She shifts her gaze up and finds more small sacks hanging from tree branches. She slowly spins in place as she keeps her gaze fixed above. Someone reaches for Diana's shoulder. She swings around with a knife, slashing Anita's arm.
Oh! What are you?
Diana aims the knife at her. Anita stares in shock.
You did this! You brought Teresa back.
Diana, put the knife down. I am doing this for your protection. You need a guardian.
Stay away from me!
Anita holds up her hands.
Diana! What did you do?
Diana turns to Beth, though, then aims the knife at Anita.
Put the knife down.
I'm just trying to help.
Don't! Diana! Diana! Baby, baby, look at me. Put the knife down. You're bleeding.
Our view lowers, revealing blood staining the skirt of Diana's nightgown. Beto catches Diana as she faints. Cut to black. A close view shows the music box winding, keys spinning. In the dream nursery, a roving view drifts toward the crib. View slowly rises over the crib, revealing a lifeless infant wrapped in a blanket. At the clinic, Diana startles awake. She breathes heavily as she hangs her head. Her tense posture relaxes slightly. She reaches back to rub her neck, then stops and looks down. Diana finds herself wearing the beaded necklace from Anita. She looks up and to her side. Diana slowly emerges from her cubicle and looks toward the nurse's station. She starts to cross the clinic. Diana continues past the nurse's station. She steps into a dark hallway. A light flickers nearby. Diana stops and stares down the hallway. Our view rises over Diana as she turns to find the woman in red behind her. The woman's long dress trails onto the floor.
What is that?
The hallway shakes and the lights flicker. Teresa turns, revealing a swaddled baby in her arms. Diana steps toward them with a somber look.
What do you want from me?
Teresa slowly lifts her hand, pointing at Diana. Diana hurries away. She turns down another hall. She looks over her shoulder as she hurries ahead. Diana continues forward, then turns down another hall and pushes through a door. She moves past the nurse's station toward her cubicle, but finds Teresa standing in her way. Diana hurries down another hall, passes through a doorway, and shuts it behind her. Diana backs away, then jiggles the handle of another door. She steps to a room labeled Restricted Access and peers through a window in its door.
You have to sign this, Mrs.
I don't understand. Please call Rafael. Call my husband.
We've been trying, but there's no answer, Marisol. Listen to me. I'm trying to help. No sign, no doctor. Baby is in trouble. He could die. Muerte. No sign? You both could die. Both muerte. Fema.
Carol holds a clipboard and Marisol signs a document.
That's good. That's good.
Diana backs away from the door. In her shadowy cubicle, Diana makes a call.
Bueno.
Beto.
Diana, what are you doing awake?
I'm scared.
What's going on?
I think the symptoms are getting worse. The rash is bad. I'm hallucinating.
Did
Did you tell the nurse?
No. I saw something tonight. Marisol was screaming in pain, and Nurse Carol forced her to sign something.
What was it?
I don't know. I don't know. But I need you to go to Arvington tomorrow after work. You need to talk to the doctor in person and ask him what he knows about the pesticides.
Diana slowly looks up, bringing her face into the dim light. She wears a desperate expression.
We need to protect our baby.
Daytime. In slow motion, Marisol's husband, Ernesto, walks down a row of crops past other workers. At the clinic, Carol preps an IV while wearing surgical scrubs. She administers a shot into the IV. Marisol wears a pained expression as she sits on a surgical table. She clutches her pregnant belly. The bearded doctor sits before her parted legs, adjusting their placement. He also wears surgical garb. At the farm, Ernesto grips a machete as he continues down a row of crops. At the clinic, Carol holds a scalpel, her gloved hand hovering over a tray. She carries it toward the surgical table. At the farm, Ernesto kneels on the ground. At the clinic, Marisol's head lies back, her mouth open in anguish. The bearded doctor slices into her belly. At the farm, Ernesto sorts through eggplants in a basket. He stands up straight with his brow furrowed. At the clinic, Marisol's lifeless baby lies on blood-stained material. The bearded doctor stares down at the infant's body. At the farm, Thomas removes his cowboy hat and holds it against his stomach. He wears a somber expression as he steps forward. Ernesto regards him with a concerned look. Marisol sobs on the surgical table. Under an overcast sky, Beto drives his pickup truck into the parking lot of a small building. A sign reads, Arvington Medical Clinic. Beto parks by the door. In an office, Beto meets with a balding doctor.
This is the first time that I've heard of a population disparity in this town.
Have you ever seen pregnant women with these symptoms?
Not in my tenure, but this was before my time.
Could you look it up?
Unfortunately, my predecessor didn't leave their patient records.
Beto wears a disappointed expression.
Let me get you his contact information.
The doctor retrieves a business card from a drawer, then slides it across the desk. The card shows the name Dr. W. Bell, M.D., with an address in Golden Valley. Beto reads it in shock.
Can I use your phone?
At the Northwest Maternity Clinic, Diana sleeps in her cubicle. She stirs and pushes herself up. Turning on a lamp, she answers the phone.
Hello? Beto, what's wrong? What?
Fear washes over Diana's face. She slowly lowers the phone. Diana slams the receiver on the nightstand. She buries her face in her hand. She grimaces with her eyes closed, then shakes her head. Now, Diana walks away from her cubicle holding a bag at her side. She stops by the nurse's station. She takes careful steps back. Diana goes to a door and looks to her side. She opens it. She carefully slinks through. Diana peers through blinds on an office window, then enters the room. She switches on a lamp. Diana searches through desk drawers. She stares into a drawer, then removes a key from it. She glances around. She spots a safe behind her. Now, Diana sets a collection of files on the desk. A nameplate reads, Dr. Welton Bell, M.D. Diana frantically looks through the files. Our view orbits around Diana as she stares down at a file on the desk. She wears a disturbed expression. A title on the signed form reads, Consent for Sterilization. Our view continues around the mortified young woman as she fights back tears. She gazes in horror at the consent for sterilization form. With tears staining her face, Diana slowly looks up. Across the room, the long-haired woman from the barbecue stands before a wall. A projection of a sterilization form illuminates her face. The patient name reads, Gabriella. Diana stares at her. Gabriella smiles faintly.
You're first?
Yes. Do you have any kids?
Not yet. But one day. I hope.
But don't I want at least two?
The more the better.
She smiles sadly. Rosa appears with her sterilization form.
To your family's health.
And you, Rosa. You plan to have more?
I did. Pero not to be.
I'm sorry.
Pero gracias a Dios, we have our Jaimito.
We are one of the lucky ones.
Marisol appears. I don't remember much from last night. She fights back tears. The medication was strong. Your first baby? Diana nods.
Yes.
My second. I want one more.
The projection switches again. Teresa appears with tears in her eyes. She points at the form in Diana's hand. A note at the bottom of the form reads, Deceased. Complications from tubal ligation. Diana shakes her head with an enraged expression.
I'm sorry.
Confusion spreads on Diana's face as she looks up. Someone covers her mouth and nose with an anesthesia mask. Cut to black.
My baby.
In the operating room, Diana slowly stirs.
My baby.
She notices leather restraints around her ankles and wrists. Dazed, she slowly looks around the room. Bell, the bearded doctor, stands nearby.
Why am I in the operating room?
You stuck your nose where it doesn't belong. You should have believed that stupid curse, like the other Spics.
He arranges surgical instruments on a tray.
When there's an epidemic,
no.
It's my obligation to cure it.
Stop. You fucking monster! You can't do this.
Unfortunately, you went into labor, and you died during complications of childbirth. But there's good news. I can save your baby. I just need you to tell me if you've told anyone else about this. Carol! Where is he?
He's on his way.
He made this mess bringing them here. Get the gas.
No. No! Help! Help!
Just stop! Stop. Just stop.
Carol moves an anesthesia mask close to Diana's face.
Please, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Please, don't hurt my baby.
Beto rushes in and charges at Carol.
Beto!
He tackles the doctor to the floor. Carol hurries out.
Beto!
Diana watches as her husband punches Belle. The doctor grabs the scalpel and stabs Beto in the shoulder.
No!
Beto rips it out, then stabs Belle in the throat. Belle's head drops weakly to the floor. Beto winces as he stands. He hurries to Diana's side.
¿Estás bien, mi amor? ¿Estás bien, mi amor?
He loosens her restraints. Beto gets shot in his other shoulder. Thomas steps forward with a gun raised. He aims it at Diana.
Why couldn't you just drink your medicine
and mind your business?
Medicine. The agua fresca. It wasn't the pesticides. You've been poisoning us.
Wetbacks don't come to the clinic on their own. Needs a little nudge. A rash. Some headaches. Dr. Bell, he had it right. You can't afford all these kids!
Help me.
She grips the beaded necklace. She turns toward Thomas with her eyes closed. He continues aiming at her. The gun shakes slightly in his hand. Thomas turns to find Teresa screaming. Diana pushes him into the observation window, which shatters. Arched over the frame, he thrashes. A large shard of glass juts from his chest. Blood seeps from Thomas's mouth as his head drops back and his body stiffens. Diana stares at Thomas, then turns to Teresa. Smiling softly, Teresa slowly backs away. She gradually vanishes. Diana steps over to Beto, who lies on the floor.
It's okay. It's okay. Stay with me. Stay with me. It's okay. It's okay.
She cradles his head in her lap.
It's okay.
Cut to black. Daytime. In her bedroom, Diana rocks a baby in her arms.
Pretty someone to see you.
Beto leads in a dark-haired woman.
You're here!
You look beautiful.
What are these?
They're from Mom. She wanted to give them to you herself, but she couldn't wait.
She gets here tomorrow.
You know her.
Hey, handsome.
Little Jose. So cute.
I love his bracelet.
Oh, leave it on.
Veronica spots a leather-bound manuscript on the bed. She opens it, revealing a title, Madres.
So this is it, huh? Al mal tiempo.
Al mal tiempo, buena cara.
Diana smiles at Beto.
In bad times, put on a brave face.
It's a reminder to fight for what's right, no matter how scary it is.
Diana, Beto, and Veronica admire Jose. Fade to black. At a clinic, a nurse strides down a hallway. A label on her uniform reads, St. Agatha Maternity Center, Los Angeles, California. In a hospital room, a pregnant Hispanic woman lies back in anguish. Please take care of my baby.
Don't worry, we're gonna take good care of you, okay? I just need you to sign this.
The nurse, Carol, lowers a clipboard to the pregnant woman.
See? Yes, good, thank you, that's good.
A moving view drifts toward a small television set.
Breathe.
The TV switches onto a staticky screen. Appears over black. Throughout the 20th century, over 64,000 women and men were forcibly sterilized across the United States as part of the national eugenics movement. Archival footage shows a surgeon and his assistant. They pushed their racist agenda by restricting the reproductive rights of those considered genetically unfit. In 1975, a group of Mexican immigrant women launched a class action lawsuit against a hospital in Los Angeles where they were sterilized without their consent. The lawsuit was unsuccessful. Recently, this practice reemerged into the public spotlight at an ICE detention center in Georgia. Rachel Maddow speaks in a news report.
The allegation here is that this is a federal facility, and they have been sending immigrant women in their care, in their custody, to a doctor who has removed their reproductive organs for no medical reason and without them consenting to it.
As of the making of this film in 2020, none of the victims have received justice. Credits appear. Co-producers, Aiden Orozco, Tara Mare Abrams. Co-producers, Paul B. Udo, Roya Tastegar. Co-starring, Evelyn Gonzalez as Marisol, Joseph Garcia as Thomas, Jennifer Patino as Veronica, Renee Mena as Rafael Ernesto, Lady Morales as Rosa, Amelia Rico as Gabriela, Betsy Borrego as pregnant Mexican woman, Vanessa Mota as Teresa, Robert LaRiviere as Dr. Bell, Jason Bale as Dr. Nelson, Carrie Cahill as Nurse Carol, Ashley Lewis as Nurse Molly. Madres, copyright 2021 Amazon Content Services LLC, all rights reserved. Audio description created by the Media Access Group at WGBH for Amazon Studios. Read by Brianna Leon. Logos, marginal. Blumhouse Television, Amazon Studios.